Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. We're going to be talking today about indisputable evidence. We're going to read the first six verses here. 11:1 is probably a very well-known, kind of a famous verse of Scripture. It's God defining faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For sinners to come to God, to be saved, to be born again, to stay out of hell, to be redeemed, and all of those other terms that describe that incredible experience that most of you here today actually know about now, every believer has experienced this thing we're talking about when they came to know Jesus. That transformation begins first with believing simply that God is. This is not part of my notes today, but as I was thinking about this and preparing to step up here this morning, I was thinking back and I realized back when I was in the insurance business many moons ago, when I had hair and everything, you know, back way back, I went to a seminar. It was one of those positive attitude type things. And there was a fella that was a tall, red-headed fella. I can't remember his name. But he was a very positive guy. And he was talking about God. And he picked up a flower, a real flower. And he said, "Can any of you here make one of these?" Of course, the answer was pretty obvious. He said, "Well, somebody made it, because here it is." And I never forgot that. It just kind of stuck with me. You know, I was just another lost guy out there in the world, not knowing anything really. The Bible says, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is." And the guy said, he said, "I want you to understand something." He said, "God is. Whatever else you may think about him, one thing you're going to have to come up with, you're going to have to realize is that he is." Amen. He exists, in other words. Who besides the Lord knows how many people out there in the world who are they truly wonder if there really is a God? The Bible is very clear about the fact that man's ignorance of God is due to a willingness on his part to actually remain ignorant. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old." And it goes on to talk about other things. But the point is that they were willingly ignorant of this. Your friends who do not believe there really is a God, anybody have friends like that? People you know that don't really believe there is a God? Or they sincerely claim that they do not know if there really is a God? They are in that state of ignorance by their own choice. I want you to understand this. That's not going to be a popular thing for people to hear, but it's true. In reality, those friends are on their way to spend eternity in a real place of eternal torment. It's called hell, because that is what they are choosing. Now, one could easily conclude that if that's their choice, that's what they actually are choosing, then hell must simply be what they deserve. Well, let me ask you this. Isn't hell also what we deserve?
That's right. It is.
What makes us any better than them? We're not avoiding hell because we deserve better. We're not going to heaven instead because of anything that we are or deserve in any way. We're going to heaven because Jesus took our punishment for us. The same as he did for all of those out there who still are willingly ignorant. He paid for their sins just like he did for ours. If there was something that we could do to get their attention, something that we could do to change their minds, to get them to see it, if somehow that you could actually prove that there really is a God, that would be a wonderful thing. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, actually Romans is going to be our primary text for the day. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He said, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." How can you prove that there really is a God? I don't think that we can. I'd like to be wrong about that, but I don't think that I can prove to you that there really is a God, but I'm realizing something that that's okay because God already has. He has already proved to all of us that he is there. He has revealed himself to man. This message is a message that I really hope that the video doesn't mess up today, because this message really needs to be out there where that you can tell your friends, go on YouTube and listen to this message if you don't think there's a God. Today we're going to look at just how God has done that, just how God has revealed himself to us. The first thing that we're going to look at is the fact that God has revealed that he is real. He has shown us this. Initially, God reveals himself to us through his creation. Romans 1, verse 19 says, "That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse." Now in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 17, it talks about the eternal, the King eternal, immortal, invisible. The only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Colossians 1:5 speaks of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So all these verses speak of God as being invisible. And that he is. He is invisible. So how do you see that which is invisible? Hebrews 11 and 27 shows us that it can be done. By faith, and we're talking about Moses here, it says he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We see the invisible through that which it does or what it produces. You can't see electricity, but you can sure see what it does. You can't see the air that you breathe, unless you're in L.A. or somewhere like that. But you can see and you can feel what it does. This is the same illustration that Jesus used in John chapter 3, verse number 8. Listen to what he said. He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So it is through what God has created, and it is through what God has done and continues to do, that he reveals himself unto us, even though he is invisible. That which may be known of God, the Bible says, is manifest or shown, first of all, he says, in us. Two things. God says that he has manifested or shown it to us in us, and then he has shown it to us. We'll look at both of these. You ever watch a newborn baby? We've had a bunch of those around here lately. They're pretty cool, aren't they? In the first weeks and months, one of the first big discoveries is when that baby finds his hands. That's fascinating. That's just priceless. Look at your own hand. Hold up your hand. Pick a finger and move just that one you pick. Works. That's amazing. Close your eyes and touch the middle finger to your thumb. See if you can do it. You didn't have any trouble at all with that. If you ever thank God for your hand and how it works, do you realize that all of man's collective knowledge and skill from the beginning of time cannot duplicate even the smallest aspect of what God has done in every last one of us? You say, well, they got artificial intelligence and robotics and all that. Yeah, well, go look at it. It's nothing compared to what God has done, just enabling you to touch whichever finger you want. You ever thank God that you have a thumb? Yeah. So maybe I'll get a thumbs up with this message today. He gave most of us two of them. Snakes don't have them. Birds don't have them. Well, they can fly, but we can't. But anyway, that's pretty cool. None but a fraction of the entire animal kingdom have a thumb. With a thumb and a little bit of superior intelligence that God has also provided, we can make watches. We can perform surgery. We can throw a football. You ever try to throw a football without a thumb? Or a softball, for that matter, Jack. We can tie our shoes. And a million other useful tasks because God created the thumb. And how much could we say about the human eye, or the brain, or the heart, the entire function of the body? We could be here all day talking about things that God has created in us and shown to us that are absolutely marvels. Secondly, that Bible says that that which may be known of God is manifest or shown unto us. In us and to us. Verse 19, for God has showed it unto them. Now start as far out as you can see or even imagine. The universe, the solar system, billions of galaxies, all suspended on nothing. Billions of planets all staying in place, moving in predetermined patterns, all of them in perfect order. Held there by what? Or by whom is what we're really talking about, isn't it? If even one of them fell out of place, it could easily cause the whole system to collapse. But they never do, do they? Something's keeping them in place. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Next, go to one tiny speck in just one of those millions of galaxies. One little tiny speck. You know what we call that speck? Earth. That's the one that we live on. Here we see ecosystems that keep everything working in perfect harmony. Weather patterns, life teeming in abundance, and all of it with a purpose, all working together, perfect harmony. Now go within. Come on back from your telescope and use your microscope, and we've got cells and molecules and atoms and neutrons and electrons and photons, and many of these cannot even be seen. And like God, they are only known to exist by what they do. When's the last time you ever heard somebody say, well, I just don't believe in molecules. I don't believe in atoms. Let me tell you something. The people in Japan believe in atoms. God has revealed himself. Has he? Yes, he has. He has revealed himself to everyone. Yes, he has. Romans 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, or from observing, seeing the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by observing the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Do you realize that even the most primitive of societies on this planet rule themselves with some kind of a system defining what they think to be right or wrong? Every society in the world works that same way. Romans 2 and verse 14 tells us why that is. He says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, didn't have Bibles, didn't have the laws, you know, the Old Testament law, none of that, when they do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. The Bible says they do these things by nature. You ever heard of Mother Nature? Well, Mother Nature is not really Mother Nature. Mother Nature is Father God. Amen. When God reveals that he is real, which he does to every man, this initial knowledge of God places every man in one of two categories based on his choice. This happened to you. We talk about it. You'll probably maybe even remember the details. In Romans 1 and verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, when they knew that he was real, when they saw the evidence, they saw the proof, they saw the creation, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. To one group, once they see God, once they understand that he's real, to one group, God will reveal his righteousness. Most of you here today are in that group. Maybe all of you, I hope. God reveals himself to man. The reaction of some is gratitude and glory. Thankful that it's like this, thankful that God did what he did, and giving him the credit for doing it. Praise the Lord. David was a man like that. In Psalm 139, verse 14, David said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. David probably looked at his thumb and said, man, that is cool. Psalm 97 and 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. They all see it. When you look out to the heavens, do you see the handiwork of God? Or do you see something that you think is some big accident that you really don't want to think about? Which is it? I know that from the group that I'm preaching to here in person today, that pretty much every one of you see the handiwork of God when you look out there. To those who give God glory, to those who are grateful, who are thankful, God then sends even more light to them. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and mortality to light through the gospel. As long as you desire it, God sends more and more light. He keeps showing you more. As long as you come back, as long as you keep listening, as long as you keep that curiosity turned toward Him, God is going to keep sending you more. And then when you're ready, God will set you up an appointment with one of His messengers. And in that appointment, God is going to reveal His righteousness through the gospel. Everybody here who's saved today has experienced this. Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God," what? Revealed. From faith, that initial faith in Jesus to save you, to faith, the faith to trust Him for virtually everything from that point forward. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." Folks, this is why we're here, Lighthouse. This is why there is a church called Lighthouse Baptist Church who keeps hammering on this amazing gospel that we preach about and talk about every single week. I've had the privilege to be that appointment for many of you. And it was an amazing thing. God wants to reveal His righteousness to you and then allow you to receive it as a free gift from Him. You're going to heaven because God has given you His perfect righteousness as this amazing free gift. Romans 3, verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." There is a much larger group that refuse to be thankful and that refuse to give God glory. To that other group, God has a revelation for them as well. To that other group, God will reveal His wrath. When God reveals Himself, when He shows you that He's real, the response to that is crucial, absolutely crucial. The most common response is that of no glory and of no gratitude. Romans 1:21 tells us about it, "because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." There is a price to pay for this response of no glory and no gratitude. The Bible says that because of this, they became vain in their imaginations, professing themselves, verse 22, to be wise, they became fools. Many of these, we were talking about this in Bible class to some degree this morning. Mark said he used to be one of these. Although I'm not sure I'd ever want to admit it. It's pretty dumb, really, when it comes to think about it. Many of these now claim to believe that a giant cosmic explosion, which came from nothing and was caused by nothing, blew all of the matter in the universe, which came from nowhere, into all these planets and galaxies, and with all of them orbiting and operating in perfect order. Then on one of these accidental planets called Earth, somehow a single cell, without any help, became accidentally alive, and then over millions of years evolved into the perfect and amazing order that we all observe and see every day today. Becoming a fool, and God rightly described it, becoming a fool is just the beginning. God said then, their foolish heart was darkened. Who did that? The same one that sent you light is the same one that sent them darkness. And God saw the wickedness of man, Genesis 6 and verse 5, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do you believe in evolution? Evolution's right here, and we're reading about it right now. Ordinary people rejected God and then evolved into fools. There's your evolution in the Bible, if you want to point that out to somebody. Next in the evolution of wrath came idolatry. What did they do after they became fools? Verse 23, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. There's your Hindu critter gods and your totem poles and your cows walking around with people bound down to them in one nation or another. You could just look the world over and you see this all over the place. What is that the result of? It's what happens when men evolve into fools. Then God's wrath continues to mount up. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. May I just stop there for a minute and forget my notes for a moment and remind you that we're not here for us. We're here for Jesus Christ. Because this is about the Creator, not the creature. We're the servants. He's the master. And our job is to bring Him glory. And I'll leave you alone for that for now. Verse 26 goes on to say, when they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet or which was fitting. And then in verse 27, we see the origin of atheism. Where does atheism come from? Verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. There is no limit to the depravity to which one can sink once you reject God. Once you refuse to believe that He's real. Because once He shows you, there's no going back. You're going to do one of two things. You are going to thank Him and give Him glory, or you are going to reject Him and just throw up your hand and say, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to know it, I don't believe it, I'm not even going to get involved in it. You can't just throw away that which is true and real sitting right in front of your face. You got to deal with it. You are in this process. I don't know if you say, well, I don't want to be in this process. Well, you're in it anyway. Everybody here and everybody watching on the tube is in this process. God has revealed Himself to all of us, no exceptions. We have indisputable evidence that He is real and that He is there. There's no getting around it. So you need to be very careful what you do with this truth that you face. Don't make a choice that you can't come back from. The beautiful news about this is that it's not too late, or you wouldn't be listening to this right now. That's good news. I'm preaching to the choir, I know. I'm looking out as to who's here, and I know most of you fairly well, and I know that you understand that God is real, and I know that you're thankful, and I know that you're giving Him credit for all the amazing things that He's done out there and here right in you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and to think that this is some accident, it's just absurd. It just is. God has revealed Himself to all of us. I'm here to tell you, though, I know that the people who've rejected God have done so by their own choice. And I know that they deserve what's coming. But I know that I deserved it too. And it breaks my heart to know that people are looking at truth and reality and denying it just because they're afraid they're going to have to give up some of their sin, or they're going to have to be placed in another group, and they're going to have to be looked at differently by other people, and all the crazy, stupid reasons that people stay lost. It breaks my heart that they're going to have to pay such an incredible price for their ignorance that is willingly there. Willingly. Do you have any idea how fast God would be willing to save you if you would just turn to Him? You know, I remember the night I got saved like it was yesterday. So do you, by the way, if you're saved. I remember that night, and God revealed His righteousness to me. The pastor showed me in the Word of God that the whole reason I couldn't live it was that's why Jesus died. That's why He did what He did. And I understood that for the first time in my life. I understood that. And I realized what His righteousness was. You know how long it took Him to save me once I understood that? Might have been 30 seconds. I put my trust in Him so fast it just, I started to say it would make my head swim, but my head has been swimming ever since. I've never been the same since that time. What a merciful and wonderful and awesome God we serve. He loves you, and He loves them. And we need to do everything we can to help them become one of us. I don't want to see anybody in hell, but hell is continuing to enlarge itself because more and more choose it over the mercy and the amazing grace of our Lord and Savior, who went to the cross and paid for us. Everything we need is paid for by the One that loved me and died in my place. I don't know where all this has left you today. Maybe it's given you some material that you can talk to your friends, and who knows, maybe you could use some of these things you've learned today to help somebody to cross that gap over to where they're willing to at least listen. Let's stand today.